Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we happen to have a live financial professional in our studio. Welcome to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner, is back on the scene. Good morning, sir.
Can you believe it's Thursday again?
No.
So quick. I mean, only last Thursday. It was 7 days ago. It just, we were here then. Imagine. Today, please. May 30th.
Please.
Well, it's great to be here. We have lots to talk about today. Today, we are talking about a family affair. Not the old show with Brian Keith and Sebastian Cabot.
Buffy.
Buffy and all those guys. But a family affair. Having difficult conversations. Why? Why, you say? Why do we have to talk about this again? Because, 2 weeks ago, up close and personal, our radio audience listeners, six or seven called in, three or four of the calls were about this very subject. So we said, we have to expand on this subject. So we've got something radical going on here. Not that Heidi is joining us. That's not the radical part. Welcome, Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
She is our managing executive in charge of the staff, and also sits with clients on an ongoing basis. But we've got a new, it's called a Secure Act, already voted on by the House of Representatives.
Yeah, it was a majority vote, 417-3. So this is an act that's going to impact some retirement planning issues. And Shay may be able to appreciate this wordsmithing because the title of the Secure Act, what it stands for, is sort of interesting. It's Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act.
Ooh, what a nice spin.
Yeah, somebody was thinking about that when they came up with that title.
Yeah.
So,
knowing Washington, they probably have a whole department that's charged with making up these names of these laws, these acronyms.
It probably
acronyms,
took five
right?
eggheads
right.
to come up with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Secure Act.
So in this act, the reason we're bringing this up for everybody to hear is there would be some changes to some retirement planning issues, and just wanted to mention some of those. One thing is that going forward, they would remove the age barrier for traditional IRA contributions. Right now it's at 70. Once you get to that age, you can no longer make a contribution.
The year in which you turn 70 and a half, you
correct.
Can't make an IRA contribution, a regular IRA contribution.
A traditional, yep.
Traditional, or traditional as it's traditionally called. But they're going to do away with this.
Right. So that would open up for those people who are still working and they want to continue to contribute to their retirement accounts. They could do so and receive that credit.
Obviously, this has to pass the Senate as well.
That is
true. In order
for
it to become law. It's not law yet. This is a strong chance of passing, though. So that'd be interesting. I mean, theoretically, someone could be 95, still have earned income, and make an IRA contribution. Imagine that. Earned income, still's got a job, and make a deductible IRA contribution. Ron, there is hope for us in the future. See, here it is.
So if you're still working at 90, Ron.
That may be the case for many people down the road here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and then also another thing you could do with that is in your later years, sometimes you're earning more than you ever have before, and maybe you've hit those income limits and you can't make a Roth contribution. You could make this traditional IRA contribution and then convert the funds. So that's a strategy that might become available. Another item in this bill is moving the RMD age, which is that required minimum distribution age, from the current 70 and a half to just a straight 72.
Mm. Which we've been dreading, right, Ron? And that's another thing we've been dreading together.
Yes.
I mean, we constantly talk about it. I mean, we really have to take those RMDs at age 70 and a half.
Now it's 72.
They've been listening to the show.
It's a clear 72.
Even
I think they've
been listening
to the hue and cry about why 70 and a half. You know?
Maybe the Senate will change it to 72 in 2 months.
Maybe, you know, just to add that complexity so it's not easy to remember. Okay, and then there's something that may not be a positive thing for everybody. The previous two were sort of positive changes. This would be the elimination of the stretch IRA. And what that means when we say a stretch IRA, that means if you inherit an IRA from someone and then you're able to keep the money in the IRA over your lifetime, as long as it lasts, you do have to take out those RMDs, but you can stretch that money over the long term. This bill may cap that stretch to 10 years.
Oh.
There are some exemptions for spouses and children under the age of majority, et cetera. And those will become more apparent if this actually goes into law. But that would be one ramification.
So what does that mean? Like, if it's capped, you had explained this to me earlier. So like, if you have to take, say you inherit $1 million.
You have to burn it all up in 10 years?
Right.
Wow.
So that changes your tax bracket.
It right. does. I mean, if you... Like you said, $1 million, even if it was $100,000 mm-hmm. and you had to add $10,000 a year to your income, that could push you into another higher tax bracket or something like that. And maybe you want to hold on to that money if you inherit it and you wanted to use it for your own retirement. That wouldn't allow you to do that if you were like in your 30s or 40s. So,
You couldn't stretch that over your lifetime. And in essence, Shay, to use you as an example, at your very, very, very young age, mm-hmm. your distribution as required as a non-spouse beneficiary might be,
of
for
a
instance,
million.
About, if it's $1 million, mm-hmm. about 2% of that or so, about $20,000. Well, if it's 10 years, we move it up to that, it's about $100,000 you'd have to take out. So that changes the tax situation significantly and your ability to stress that out over and just have more options, if you will, in terms of, well, I want to take $20,000 this year, but next year, what if I want to take $50,000? You still can with no penalty. It just doesn't give you near as much flexibility in terms of those withdrawals.
Why would the new legislation, what are they, any idea what they're hope to accomplish with that particular change?
It's called more money, Ron.
More money.
More money.
People have to take
revenue
and pay the federal
It's
government.
A revenue enhancement yeah. project, yes.
Right,
one
because
of many,
that money,
I'm sure we'll be seeing.
That money gets taxed as it comes out as
Correct.
Income. So, and one final point is with 401ks, and this is for small businesses. They are going to allow small businesses to band together to offer a 401k for the whole group. And this would benefit the small business owners because right now 401ks have a certain cost to get into them. So many of the small business owners choose other ways to save for retirement. So this may offer an additional alternative for small business owners. And within those 401k plans, they are going to allow annuities, which are a certain investment product out there that can provide income during retirement. And so those securities might be able to be offered in the 401k if this makes it through and things remain as they are now. Of course, they could change as it goes through the Senate.
Some of these provisions in here are to be applauded. They're, in essence, in some regards, simplify some of the rules and allow more people to participate in these types of retirement accounts. I think that's a great idea. I know what I think about the shortening the stretch. I don't care for that piece of it at all. I think anytime inheritors who have more options in terms of spending those funds, it's always better. But as in anything, diversification winds up being the winner in this, and that we can't, as a retiree or as an inheritor, base all of our hopes on any one strategy to make things work financially for us.
Exactly. And that's why Dennis and I spend so much time, Ed Slapp was here last week, and that's why we spend so much time working on these rules and strategies, because they change on you. And That's way we can help our clients manipulate the strategies we have in place to best take advantage or to avoid some of the pitfalls of these new legislation coming down the line.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Heidi.
That passed 417-3, as you said. The three people who voted against it include Congressman Justin Amash of Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. One of the three.
Real quick, securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor. Thank you, Heidi.
Oh, you're so romantic, Shay.
I know. Shay, will you read disclosures to me? Yes. The opinions expressed. In I can say that in my sleep.
I bet you've almost got that memorized. I do, after all. Yes. You bet. So today, a family affair. How do we get started? Well, first off, having the conversation between you and your significant other or spouse. What do we want to talk about here? As I was going through this material, I was thinking, we need to up the ante in our own conversation with our family. I have had these conversations with our children. They are not easy. I get it.
You're talking about the inheritance and estate planning.
The inheritance and estate planning conversation. So changing the subject from the Secure Act. Thank you, Shay.
You're welcome.
To having this discussion with children or having this discussion with parents as applicable to your given situation. How do you begin to have this? Well, and in some cases too, as a caveat, sometimes spouses and or parents are unwilling to have this conversation with their children. They're just not willing to do it. So you may, in some cases, run into a brick wall. In that case, what can you do about your own situation that would further that communication and help those that follow possibly get more footing or a better footing on what we're talking about with this from their situation and then as well as from yours? Many of us, me included, sometimes overlook the complexity of our own situations and think unnecessarily that our children know what we've done and what's going on.
Or spouses.
Or spouses.
You've had those meetings.
Yes. Yeah. Or spouses, you know. She or he thinks that, or we think that about our spouses. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you assume.
They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But they really may not. You know, you've been doing this over here at your work. I didn't know that you had these funds in your 401k or that old 403b. You mean you still have that thing going on? Yeah. I thought you rolled that to your IRA. No, you can see where these conversations can run. So part of this is, what are the retirement accounts? Where? Who are the beneficiaries? And are there pensions as a piece of this? So begin having the conversation with, do we want to talk about this with the children? And then do we want to discuss the actual assets? Do we want to bring those numbers in as a part of the conversation? Now, Heidi, you had some conversation, some of your own experiences with this.
Mm-hmm.
How would that help enlighten the conversation to our listeners today?
Well, I think I've even mentioned it before on the show. We have some family land, a cottage that we our whole family loves. And, you know, we got to the point. My dad was had been diagnosed with an illness, and so we knew that we had to start talking or figuring this out. And I tell you, just having a sit down with all the siblings and my parents and just finding out who wanted to still have a piece of the cottage, who still wanted to be involved and how those things were set up and what were we going to do to secure that for future generations, and just talking through that. When my dad passed away last year, you know, there was some peace that we had already talked about it, so we sort of knew what we were going to do, and we weren't faced with a lot of decisions because they had already been made, and that was really helpful during that process.
As part of the conversation, you mentioned that you were kind of surprised by some of the responses of who wanted to be involved with the cottage still.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that everyone in the family wanted to, but everybody was very intent on keeping the cottage and keeping the house and being able to pass that on to future generations so that they could do all those fun summers, which are in our memories of when we were kids and we would come up here to Traverse City. And so It was good to hear that too, that all of my siblings had that deep connection as well.
It's great.
So in your family, the kids initiated the conversation, not your dad.
Yeah, it was more of like, we really need to talk about this, and
that's neat that he was open, or they were open to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And you guys, the children in this case, were able to really work the legal side of it, too, to get those areas fixed that needed to be in terms mm-hmm. of the cottage as well,
yeah.
which made a huge difference and will make a huge difference for you and your mother as well.
That's true.
In the end. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So first part of the conversation might be around the retirement accounts. Where are the accounts? Who are the beneficiaries? And do we have both primary and contingent beneficiaries? The second part of it might be on their other asset accounts, life insurance, annuities, real estate. What are the total assets in the estate? And are we including them all in this conversation? And are we comfortable with that? Having some benchmarks or guides in this can be helpful to both you and your spouse and or yourself. Maybe you just need to think through this. Now, do I want to have this yet with the children as they stand? Are they able, do I think, to have this conversation? And as a part of this, listening to your own gut, if you will, what's important to them? What's important to me? And do you have a child or children or in-laws who really shouldn't receive a lump sum? This can be a big part of it as well. They're not yet able to handle the funds. And in that case, do I need to consult with an attorney as a part of this? So often we help coach clients through this process, as we did, frankly, yesterday. Here's how you approach this given situation. We recommend you see the attorney. You need to make some more phone calls on your plan. You know, that sort of thing can help you begin to solve these issues. If it's enough to bother you as a marker, or you're becoming uncomfortable, for instance, with this conversation on the radio, that's a great indicator that possibly you should be listening to this and or consulting with your advisors or coming in to see us. How do I work through this? How do we get from point A to point B? And why would it make sense? Cool, eh?
Cool.
Next part of the conversation in family affair conversations is charity. What's your thoughts, or what are your beliefs and thoughts about charity, and how do you want them to participate? Some are very, very intentional about that. Well, we want to give most of our estate to charity or whatever it might be. There are no heirs. Others would say, well, the children get it all. We might have decided, for instance, a specific dollar amount to a charity, $5,000, $10,000. It runs the gamut of options. So where are you on that? And have that conversation. And have that conversation with your children as well. Now, in regards to the children, who gets what? Are you going to give any special treatment? If you can communicate that to the other children so that they know why and the how, it's huge. Because then they know. In regards to our own family, one child was treated differently as a part of the estate settlement through the trust, but the other, it had never been communicated to us. Why?
You as a child?
A child of my parents. So given that this other child was treated differently, it would have made a huge difference in terms of our own communication and ability to work through this if we knew the why and their own thinking about it. All I can say is, having discussed with the attorney, this goes way back, why and the how of this trust that they had written that, in essence, zeroed out a sibling's debt. I'll just put it that way. I know that my parents felt uncomfortable with that particular situation, but they never were able to communicate that back to us. And, it's always, hindsight's always 20/20. It would have made a huge difference if the whole family could have heard. I heard from the attorney, was able to have that conversation, given my own experience with mom and dad and in seeing their discomfort with it. For me, I was able to get complete peace with it. I had to step up from the others. I know that. But not everyone has that step up in the family. So if they're more intimately involved, your children, with your situation, they may get it. But for those who are living in California, Ohio, you know, whatever, they may not be as intimately involved and may not see your parents in that same light that you do, obviously. So to the extent that as parents we can communicate this, not only why we're treating them differently, but assure them, obviously, of our love, that we love you each the same. But we're also trying to recognize your talents, your gifts, as well as challenges, too. And here's how we're recognizing that. Now, sometimes you may want an attorney in on this to help you discuss this or get through it. This story reminds me of the conversation in the end. George Barup, this goes back probably 18 years ago. We were teaching a class on retirement over at NMC. And George at that time, I can say unequivocally, I'd never seen him so upset. And I said, George, what's going on? He said, well, I'm going through a will contest with some clients. And he said, it's the worst thing in the world. I said, George, you've done a lot of divorce work in town. I said, this is the worst. He said, it's absolutely awful, the will contest. So I would just encourage those of you who can get through this and work through these issues and communicate them with your children to the best of your ability, get started. Get started. Even though it may seem a mountain to climb because of the complexity of your situation and or the simplicity. You know, who knows? Everyone's situation is obviously different. But given the complexity of it, begin to have these conversations. You will thank yourself, and so will your children in the end. I have had so many children say to me, I'm so glad that they worked through this, Mom and Dad. Everything from picking out the casket to discussing and or having the conversation with us as children. Here's where things are. Here's where all the records are. Here's where the details are. And here's who to contact. Part of this, the Prout Planner, and I'm holding it up to Shay. And thank you, Shay, for she oversaw this whole program. The Prout Planner helps you individually disclose this information to those who follow. It's for your own records for you to keep. And it helps. It's got everything in it from funeral and passing wishes, liabilities, bill paying, investment accounts, and key these days, all of the IT information, passwords, mm-hmm. usernames, all that sort of thing, so that they can find what's going on or where your stuff is and help them work through the details.
So, shoot me an email if that's something that you would like to have, Shay, S-H-E-A, at proutfinancialdesign.com.
This may be a key piece for you helping to get some control and also begin to discuss these issues with your children. Our phone number is 231-947-3992.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.